invite you to join us in singing just one more song. And this song is called Pulse. It goes along with the sermon series we're in right now. And it just really speaks volumes to what it means to have hearts that are in tune with the Lord, and hearts that break for what breaks his heart, hearts that desire what he desires for us. And so it's in that prayer that we share this song with you. Please join us in singing.
Transition to the message time. I invite you to open your prayer and action guides and pull out the green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you, how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you in this journey. Hopefully you can engage with me in that. Now I want to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, we're in week two of a series called The Pulse of the Gospel. And we're using the acronym PULSE to get at the heart of the gospel, the good news of our God. Last week, Pastor Greg unpacked the first letter, P, which stands for pay attention. Now, I never really paid attention to my own pulse until I got a Fitbit. Any of you guys have a Fitbit or some kind of activity tracker? Yeah. So there's something I noticed on my Fitbit watch that helps set up our letter and theme for today. The screen of my watch displays two pulse readings. The first is my resting heart rate. This is my pulse when I'm not actively moving. The other reading is my current heart rate. And when I move, at least it should work this way, when I move, my pulse goes up. And the goal is to be actively moving on a regular basis. We all know that the benefits of movement are innumerable. I mean, it strengthens muscles, improves mood, reduces risk of disease, and on and on and on. Yet even though we know movement is important, we sometimes face challenges that can hinder our movement. For example, some days my schedule has me sitting in meetings or at my desk all day long. Other days, I might be tired or achy or even lazy, and I don't feel like moving. And to encourage movement, the Fitbit tracks my heart rate, it logs my active minutes, and in hours where I'm not moving as much as I should, I get a little gentle buzz on my wrist. It says, get moving, do something. I thought this kind of serves as a neat analogy for our letter and our theme for today, because the whole gospel is all about movement. We have a God in motion. God is moving towards us in love. Our letter for today is U, and it stands for understand empathically. I know that sounds like a mouthful, but you can boil it down to movement. Empathy is the creative capacity to put yourself in another person's shoes, to better understand how they're feeling, what they're going through. But the movement goes beyond that. In contrast to apathy, which is a lack of concern, empathy means you care so much that you can't sit by passively while another person's suffering. Your heart is moved to act on their behalf. And in our gospel reading today, we get a glimpse of God understanding empathically. God creatively puts himself in our shoes, and God's heart is moved to act on our behalf. And as we'll see through the reading, God calls his followers, you and I, to join with God in the movement and move towards others in love. Yet we find some of the same challenges can hold us back from movement: complacency, selfishness, fear, doubt, discouragement, despair. When that happens, God gives us a gentle buzz. He says, get moving. Do something. And if we're willing to follow God's lead, God helps us overcome challenges and experience the benefits of God's movement. So let's get moving. I invite you to turn in your Bible or your Good Shepherd app to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. It tells the story of Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection. And I want to read through this passage with you, stopping along the way to offer some context and some reflections. We're going to start with the first part of verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Jesus had just been through some really tough stuff. First, he was rejected in his own hometown. Ouch. Then he got the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been killed by the evil King Herod because John had confronted him about some of his immoral behavior. This terrible news came as a blow to Jesus. He needed some time alone to grieve the loss of his cousin. And already, we catch a glimpse of God understanding empathically. God creatively put himself into our shoes by sending his son Jesus to earth as a human being. Jesus fully entered our experience so that he could fully understand how we're feeling, what we're going through. Because of that, Jesus understands what it's like to get terrible news. He understands the grief of losing a loved one. Jesus understands stress, pressure, temptation, rejection, betrayal, persecution, injustice, pain, weakness, poverty, hunger, loneliness, sorrow, difficult family dynamics, suffering, even death. Jesus understands it all. But the movement goes beyond that. Jesus' heart is moved to take action on our behalf. He didn't just come to earth so he could understand us. He came to earth so he could help us. I like how this good news is articulated in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Maybe you're going through some tough stuff in your life. No matter what challenge you are facing, we can turn to Jesus because he understands us and he can help us. Let's keep reading. When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. At first glance, it almost seems like Jesus is neglecting his own self-care to care for others. And that's not a healthy thing to do. You can't take good care of others if you don't take good care of yourself. It's kind of like when you're on an airplane and they tell you, put your oxygen mask on first so that you can help others. But Jesus doesn't neglect his own self-care. If you read through the Gospels, we find Jesus is intentional to take time alone every day with his heavenly Father so that the Holy Spirit could breathe new life into him. We need that kind of time alone with God every day, or before long, we're going to start sucking wind, and we're going to be straining just to make it from day to day. And maybe some of you came in here today, and you're just out of breath. I hope you take this as an opportunity for God's Holy Spirit to breathe new life into you. And our Heavenly Father invites us every day to take time with him in his word, in prayer, in worship, so that the Holy Spirit can breathe life into us. And if you'd like to learn more about how to make that a regular part of your rhythm, just let me know on your response card. Jesus doesn't neglect his own self-care. And in fact, after this episode, he does take some alone time to rest and regroup. But in this passage, he models how to understand empathically. Because I noticed a tendency in myself, maybe you have too, that when we go through tough stuff in our life, we tend to turn inward. And that often makes things worse because we get wrapped up in our own junk. We get consumed by our own problems. And sometimes the best way to lift our spirits is to help lift the spirits of others. Jesus sees the crowd and he has compassion on them. The word compassion is a translation of the Greek word splagnizomai. It's a fun word to say. But sometimes it's translated moved with compassion, because this word, it's all about movement. It literally means to be moved deep in your gut. And Jesus was deeply moved by the needs of the crowd. And it wasn't just their physical needs that moved Jesus. It was their spiritual needs. A little bit earlier in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we're told Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I'm just taking a wild guess that most of us in here are not shepherds or sheep. So the analogy might get lost in translation, but here's the deal. It's not good when sheep don't have a shepherd. Without a shepherd, sheep get lost. They end up eating any scraps they can find, drinking from dirty puddles, getting stuck in bushes, even falling off cliffs. And the same thing can happen in our lives when we're not guided by God, our good shepherd. We get lost. We end up filling our lives with things that aren't really good for us. We get stuck in bad situations. We fight. We hurt ourselves. We hurt others. And if you're here today and you're far from God or you drifted away from God, I want you to hear something. God is not mad at you. God has compassion for you. It breaks the heart of Jesus to think about anybody living life apart from the care and guidance of our good shepherd. But the movement goes beyond that. God moves towards us in love. That's why Jesus came. His heart is moved to act on our behalf. And the passage tells us that Jesus had compassion and he healed them. If you read through the Gospels, every time there's the word compassion, it's followed by the word and. It's always followed by an action. Jesus' heart is moved to act on our behalf. And as we keep reading, we find that God calls his followers to join the movement with God and move towards others in love. Matthew 14, verses 15 through 17. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. The disciples, they saw a need. And then they said something that many people say when they see a need. They said, "Hey, somebody should do something about this." You ever heard that? don't say, but have you ever said that? Jesus' reply puts an interesting twist on our letter for today. We're looking at the letter U. And Jesus says, you feed them. You do something. Again, Jesus isn't just concerned about their physical needs. He's concerned about their spiritual needs. But it's hard for someone to hear the gospel when their tummy's empty. I heard about a missionary group that rode a bus through a starving village in Africa and threw Bibles out the window. Bibles, mind you, that were in English. While they may have had good hearts, their strategy stunk. That's why I love our mission trips. We have a mission team serving in Honduras this week. They're providing medical, dental, optical care for people who don't have access to this kind of care. And while they're providing this care, they also share with them the good news about God's loving care. It transforms lives. People, they need to experience God's love before they can believe it. And God invites us to join with him in the movement and move towards others in love. And even though we might know that this movement is important, we face challenges that can hinder our movement. We identify some of them in the response of the disciples. They replied, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Keep in mind that the crowd was 5,000 men plus women and children. So it's probably about 10,000 or 15,000. In other words, they say back to Jesus, well, what can we do? I mean, we can't possibly make a difference. The need is too overwhelming. We don't have enough for ourselves, let alone others. What about our needs? You ever had those thoughts when confronted with the enormous needs in our world? And I have. We face the same challenges as the disciples: complacency, selfishness, fear, doubt, discouragement, despair. When this happens, God gives us a buzz, a gentle reminder to get moving and do something. You feed them. If we're willing to follow God's lead, he helps us overcome our challenges and experience the benefits of God's movement. The episode concludes with verses 18 to 21. Jesus said, bring the loaves and fishes here to me. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I've read this story many times before. This time through, I began to wonder, who was this miracle really for? I mean, sure, Jesus performed the miracle for the crowds, but I wonder if he performed this miracle for his disciples just as much as for the crowds. Because Jesus teaches his disciples some valuable lessons through this miracle. First, Jesus teaches the lesson of multiplication. Jesus multiplies what we bring him. No matter how small our resources may look in our hands, Jesus can multiply their impact when we place them in his hands. I've been reading a book by one of our members who runs a dental mission in Haiti. In his book, he describes the overwhelming need. He said that there's 20 to 30 people waiting in line when they arrive early every morning. And there's 20 to 30 people waiting in line when they leave late every night. It's just overwhelming. And it got to a point where their team felt like their minimal resources weren't making a difference. Well, one day, a farmer came and visited with their team. And he said, just you being here has given our entire community hope. People are starting to believe again that somebody cares, that maybe even God cares. Jesus multiplies what we bring him. Second, Jesus teaches the lesson of provision. God is a faithful provider. I have to imagine that it was tough for the disciples to let go of their loaves and fishes. They were probably afraid there wasn't enough to go around. And to be honest, probably afraid there wasn't going to be enough left for them. But does anybody remember how many baskets of food were left over? How many? 12 baskets, 12 disciples, coinkydink? I don't think so. Jesus was showing them, God cares about you just as much as he cares about the crowd. He wasn't asking them to give so they'd be left with nothing. He was asking them to give so that God could show them what a faithful provider he is. We learn the same lesson through tithing. God asks us to bring back 10% of what he gives to us. And sometimes it's hard to let go of that 10%. But when we trust God enough to bring him what he asks for, he always shows us he's faithful to provide more than enough for all that we need. My family's experienced this over and over in our giving journey. And I have never met a tither who doesn't have amazing stories of God's provision in their life. God is a faithful provider. And then third, Jesus teaches the lesson of blessing. This is so cool. When we bless others, we are blessed. This is how it works in God's economy. After our healing service last week, I went to say thank you to a woman who was serving. And she's like, no. I'm thankful. I came to bless others, but I'm the one who's been blessed. I think that's one of the reasons why God invites us to be part of his movement. We think we're going to bless other people. And God says, watch how I abundantly bless you. So Jesus uses this miracle to teach the lessons of multiplication, provision, blessing. But he also uses it to give his disciples a bigger picture of God's movement. Jesus performs four actions during that meal that he would perform again at another meal later. He took, blessed, broke, and gave. And it would be during his last supper that Jesus would perform the same actions, now with bread and wine. And he wanted to show them the lengths he would go to act on their behalf. Jesus said, I love you so much that I'm willing for my body to be broken, my blood to be shed, so that every lost sheep could be reunited with our good shepherd. Jesus said, I love you so much that I would pay the price for your sin so that you could be forgiven and come back to God. I love you so much that I would die so that you don't have to. And that if you believe in me, I can give you the free gift of eternal life. What a movement. And Jesus calls his followers, you and me, to be part of that movement. At the end of his time on earth, Jesus said something very similar to what he said in our story. He took his disciple Peter aside, and he said, Peter, you feed my sheep. Now here, he's not talking about physical food so much as spiritual food. He was asking Peter, his disciples, his followers, he said, share with this world the good news about my movement, because people desperately need it. And there's lots of ways that we could log active minutes with God. But what matters most is that we do something. I want to close with some two application steps that I hope will help us log active minutes with God this week. One way to understand empathically is to put yourself in the shoes of others. We've been singing the song Wonder by Hillsong. Recently, that band went to visit a refugee camp. And they sat and they talked with people. And they heard people say, we just want to go home. But our homes are destroyed and they're not safe. And these stories deeply moved the band. And I wonder, how might we put ourselves in the shoes of other people this week? Maybe you can sit with someone who's going through a really tough time in their life. Maybe you can listen to someone who's been bullied or abused. Maybe you can visit a troubled neighborhood or a homeless shelter or a food pantry or a refugee camp or an impoverished country and just listen to the people. Hear their stories. Maybe you can get to know the people on your block who are far from God and allow their stories to move your heart like they move God's heart. And then the second way to understand empathically is to take action on behalf of others. Jesus says, you feed them. You do something. Hear this, it's so important. We don't come just to be fed. We are sent to feed. One of my favorite comedians, Christian comedians, Michael Jr., he saw a homeless man outside the comedy club after his show. And he had this thought, this guy needs to laugh too. And it was in that moment that God gave him a buzz, a gentle reminder to get moving and do something. It was almost as if God said, you feed him. I gave you the gift of comedy. You make him laugh. Michael Jr. took action. He started a tour that's bringing comedy to places that comedy doesn't normally go. Prisons, homeless shelters, rehab facilities, medical clinics, safe houses for victims of abuse. Bringing the joy of comedy and the hope of the gospel. And maybe God has already been buzzing you, already tugging your heart. And it's just a matter of getting moving and doing something. Or maybe this is your moment where God says, you feed them. You do something. I love the drive for school supplies that's going on. There are some people that recognize there's kids in our community who don't have access to school supplies. So why don't we be the ones to do something and lovingly meet that need? Or perhaps God is calling you this morning to help others in a way that God has helped you. Maybe you felt welcomed when you came into our church, and you can serve with our welcome ministry. Maybe you've been impacted by our worship services, and you can serve with one of our worship teams. Maybe God's brought you through some really difficult health challenges, and you can serve with our care and visitation teams. Maybe your kids have been blessed with some wonderful spiritual leaders, and you can serve with our youth ministries. Maybe God's rescued you from abuse or addiction, and you can serve with our support and recovery ministries. Maybe God's restored your marriage, and you can serve with our married people ministry. Or maybe God's brought you through a very difficult divorce, and you can serve with our divorce care programs for adults or for kids. Maybe God's guided you through the journey of special needs or mental health, and you can serve with our Fusion or mental health team. Or maybe it's just that God's transformed your life, and you can simply share that story with somebody who needs God. We don't come just to be fed. We are sent to feed. There's lots of ways that we can log active minutes with God, but what matters most is that you do something. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name in your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. If you put your camera phone over the code on the top, it'll take you to the form online. You can do it right from your phone. So I'm going to give you a few moments with God and then close us in prayer. Thank you. we are so grateful that you are a God who moves towards us in love. God, I pray for anybody here today who might be far from you or who's drifted away, because I know you have compassion on them. And I pray that they might make today their day to run back into the arms of their good shepherd. And God, we hear your call to join the movement, and we recognize the challenges that we face sometimes hinder our movement. We ask you to help us overcome those challenges. Help us to do something so we can experience the benefits of your movement. We pray that Good Shepherd might always be a church that would reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We come to our time in worship.